In this audio, we're going to explore in a bit more detail how African states might respond to and seek to benefit from the increase in great power competition in the continent. And to do this, I'm joined by two leading experts on Africa's international relations. First, Dr. Frankton Chiyomura, lecturer in international development at the Open University.
Hello.
And second, Dr. Fola Shade Sule from the Blavatnik School of Government at Oxford University.
Hello.
So let's begin with the context that is important here, an increasing involvement and competition between great powers in African countries. And this is often approached by thinking about what those external powers, the United States, China and others, are doing and their motives. But Frankton, why is it important to look at this case from the perspective of African countries? What does it add to the picture?
Well, thanks, Will, for this. I think in contemporary international relations, the influence of African countries on great power rivalry is something of importance to us. The evolving dynamics of great power rivalry in Africa present an opportunity for African countries to potentially shape their role in the international system, moving from the periphery to a more central position in global affairs. This introduces a new perspective, particularly one that considers African countries not merely as victims or passive actors within the international system, but instead position them as shapers of international relations. If managed effectively, this rivalry presents several opportunities to African countries. Among these opportunities is the diversification of development partnerships. For instance, the growing economic presence of China in Africa has prompted Western powers to reassess their engagement with the continent. As a result, African countries are strategically playing these partners against each other to extract more benefits. Rwanda, for example, has adeptly managed relations with various partners, including China, the United States, and the European Union, to support its ambitious development goals. Kenya, on the other hand, has successfully balanced its relationship with both China and the United States, attracting infrastructure investments from China while maintaining strong security ties with the United States. Zimbabwe, another interesting case study, has managed to play off Western powers against China and Russia, extracting economic benefits and political support. Beyond the diversification of development partners, this great power rivalry further offers an opportunity for African states to assert strategic influence on international issues, events, and policies. South Africa, Egypt, and Ethiopia's role in BRICS Plus Alliance and the African Union's addition to the G20 attest to an increased leverage of African actors in pursuing strategic interests within the international system. For instance, the African group has maintained a united stance on climate negotiations, demanding greater commitment from developed nations, exemplifying growing assertiveness in the international relations. However, it is crucial to acknowledge the potential downsides of this great power competition in Africa. There are concerns that the second scramble for influence in Africa could mirror, albeit in a more nuanced form, the infamous Berlin Conference of 1884-1885, which led to the partition of Africa among European powers. The risk lies in African countries becoming pawns in a larger geopolitical competition, potentially compromising their sovereignty and long-term strategic interest.
Thanks, Frankton. And it's important to bring in those kind of historical perspectives as well. But you used the term scramble for Africa, and this is widely used in writing about this contemporary era of great power competition. But Fola Shade, you've been critical of calling this a scramble for Africa. Can you explain why?
Thank you. Well, the initial scramble for Africa refers to the colonial competition for territorial establishment in Africa in the 19th century, epitomized by the Berlin Conference of 1884, as Frankton just mentioned. And that conference formalized and legitimized the idea of the continent as a playground and territory for external powers to pursue colonization. But in a contemporary context where there is no longer an African country under colonial rule, it is questionable why the scramble for Africa narrative is resurgent. Now, there are some common themes behind this narrative. The Berlin Conference brought together colonial powers with competing interests. And the contemporary narrative around a new scramble is constructed around similar lines of competition and geopolitical rivalry among great powers in Africa, and largely focuses on the US-China-Russia rivalry on the continent. But I think that it is important and necessary to question this new scramble narrative, as it too often dissenters African actors from the narrative and lacks investigation on their motives and strategies for choosing their partners. So instead of solely focusing on how external power rivalry is taking place on the continent, it is equally important to put African actors back at the center and as key agents of the decision-making process and analysis, instead of stripping away their agency by focusing too much on how Africa is acted upon or as a commodity subject to competition. So a focus on agency is particularly relevant here, as it allows us to understand how African agents are strategizing and using these various spaces and opportunities for their own interests.
Thanks, Fulshari. Those are really key points. But this competition has the potential to open opportunities for African states. Fulshari, if we think about the continent as a whole, what are the diplomatic opportunities that might open up for African states?
Dealing with great power rivalry doesn't necessitate to get involved into a zero-sum game by choosing one partner over the other for geopolitical reasons. So for African states, the best way to get the most out of this competition is to determine how engagement with competing partners fits best African government's national development priorities.
And for individual states, Frankton, there's scope to play external powers off against each other, for example, in the UN, and seek gains from doing that kind of diplomatic activity.
Absolutely, Will. And I think the case of Zimbabwe, it's something worth interesting looking at in this particular example. I think Zimbabwe is one of the few African countries that had been under US-led sanctions since 2001. And it has managed to navigate this challenge with some success by leveraging this geopolitical rivalry between China and Russia on one side and the USA and its allies on the other side. So these sanctions have led Zimbabwe to international isolation. However, this isolation has also prompted Zimbabwe to seek alternative partnerships, initially with Russia and then later with China, primarily for economic and political support reasons. So Zimbabwe, by aligning diplomatically, politically, and economically with China and Russia, it has been able to partially mitigate the impact of sanctions while securing economic benefits and political backing in international forums such as the United Nations.
From the point of view of external powers, much of the competition centres on the pursuit of economic gains, access to supplies of commodities, oil, cobalt and other minerals, as well as seeing African states as potentially lucrative markets for exports. But are there opportunities for economic development also for African states?
African countries are in competition to attract foreign investment, and the multiplication of Africa plus one platforms offers a venue to promote their countries as the best environment for these investments. But competition is not only economic, it's also political. African politicians and political parties also need to demonstrate their capacity to deliver their electoral promises at home. And so providing hard infrastructure to targeted communities and localities becomes a key determinant for these political actors to gain votes, especially in democratic settings, but also in autocratic settings where delivering infrastructure is often considered by the presidency as a means to legitimize the government's action and to address growing dissatisfaction by civil society movements. But beyond government actors, it's also important to look at non-state actors. African governments might benefit from taking into account their own citizens' opinions on great power rivalry in Africa, especially on US-China competition. A survey conducted by Afrobarometer across 34 countries between 2019 and mid-2021 showed that on average, 62% of those that were surveyed see China's influence in Africa as positive, and 60% consider US influence to be equally positive. So this suggests that for many ordinary African citizens, US-China rivalry may not be an either-or proposition, but rather a win-win opportunity.
Okay, thank you, Folashade. But Frankton, from the state's point of view, what are the dangers in playing this kind of game and how might they be overcome?
Thanks, Will, for this. I think African countries face potential challenges, particularly in navigating this great power competition. There is a risk of African countries becoming pawns in this great power competition. And there are also concerns about proxy conflicts, exploitation and exacerbation of existing divisions and tensions within African countries. These issues could compromise African sovereignty and hinder economic development goals.
Thank you. And to round off this discussion, I think it has highlighted how African states and leaders are key actors in international relations alongside the great powers. And it's shown how the importance of viewing IR from multiple perspectives, in this case, prioritising a view from African states, to see how the issues and debates raised by great power competition can be viewed differently. I'd like to finish by inviting Frankton and Folashade just to offer some final thoughts.
Well, thanks, Will, and follow-up for this interesting conversation. I think it is important that international relations is relations really of different actors from different places in the world. And this great power competition is indeed a perfect opportunity through which African countries can recenter themselves within the international system.
And Folashade.
Thank you both. I also think that it's important to analyze Africa's international relations from different perspectives and different angles in looking at the strategies carried out by various actors. This allows for a complete overview and also strategies and tensions of these actors while carrying out their international relations.
Thank you both. All that remains is to thank you, Frankton and Folashade, for your insights into this example of contemporary international relations.